for Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Of Judea, there was a priest of Abijah's division named Zechariah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame, according to all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth could not conceive, and both of them were well along in the years of age. The holidays bring so much joy, don't they? I mean, already the decorations are taking place and folks are transitioning over from one season to the next season. And maybe Thanksgiving decorations are coming up. But there's something about the holidays.
But let me ask you something. What if you didn't have all of these things? What if there was no seasonal transition that you could not decorate your homes and get the scented candles and do all of the things that we do? In fact, what if you were living on this side of the cross? It had not yet happened. There was no Christmas, so to speak, to celebrate yet. There was no cross by which we would be, oh, that we could come to the cross and we could look upon Him who saved us. There would be no joyous celebration of the empty tomb. What would you do if you lived in a period of time where all you had to look forward to was God's plan? And you say, well, that's awesome. That'd be great. But now let's take this down a little bit. What happens when God's plan is not your plan? Now what do you do? Well, I'm living in God's plan. I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. And yet something's not right. Life is not going the way that I expected it to go. Would you be able to agree with me in this statement that God always accomplishes His plan for His people? Now, on this side of it, we can say, yes, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I agree with that. And we can do that because we were not living back in the days of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And sometimes when everything is going right, we can say, okay. But the question that we have to answer is, how do you respond to God's plan in your life? How do you respond to God's plan in your life? It's easy to respond to my plan when I make my plan God's plan and everything's going according to my plan. I say, praise the Lord, this is God's plan. But how do you respond to God's plan in your life? It has nothing to do with you. In other words, you're not in control. It's all God's plan. So we have to look at the proper perspective and these short verses that we have in the reading of God's Word today. We are introduced to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Verse 5 tells us something. They were living during the days of King Herod of Judea. Now this is King Herod the Great. He rules from 37 to 34 B.C. He was actually a puppet king who was put in place by Rome. And so when you think about who this guy was, this is not a peaceful time in Israel. It's not a peaceful time in Israel right now. quite frankly, it's not even a peaceful time, so to speak, in our own nation. There's uprising, there's all different things going on, but this was not a peaceful time. Israel, back then, was a defeated people. And they were watching a foreign nation control their land. They occupied it, this foreign nation. And so it was a time when Israel was longing to be relieved of the oppression under this tyrant. And make no mistake about it, Herod the Great was a bloody tyrant. History, remember last time I was talking to you about you could have confidence in the Christian faith? You could have confidence in the Christian faith because it's a biblical faith, it's a historical faith, therefore it's a verifiable faith. Well, this is historical. You can look at the records of history of King Herod the Great. And in those records you will see that he murdered many of his own family, including his favorite wife. Imagine that. He had 10 wives, and even his favorite wife, he murdered. He murdered her grandfather, her brother. He murdered some of his own children. And on one occasion, he had the whole Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jewish government, assassinated. The entire Sanhedrin, we read of them. But did you know that Herod had almost all of them executed, assassinated? He was the puppet king of Rome. On one occasion, he had all of the notable men in Jerusalem murdered. He was very capable of carrying out these horrible acts. This is where Elizabeth and Zechariah were living. Later years of Herod's reign as king, Christ was born. And the fact shows us how much of a bloody tyrant he was. Can you imagine? He would not even be around when a child king would inherit the throne, get so threatened by the reports of a child king. He was a man who was possessed by evil. He lived in suspicion. He had a warped mind. And Herod had all the children killed, not only in Bethlehem, but in all the coasts thereof, as Matthew records in his Gospel in chapter 2 and in verse 16. So there's a little bit of the background. There's a little bit of the context or the perspective of what's happening back there. And we're saying we want to live in God's plan. We want to live holy and righteous and blameless lives. But it is in a time where it is not very easy to do. In fact, it's probably some of the most difficult times to do that. And remember who Zacharias and Elizabeth were. They were Jews. Not only were they Jews, they were faithful Jews. They would not abandon their God, regardless of what. And so we see this man and this woman. Now, notice the character of Zechariah and Elizabeth. The Bible tells us that they're descendants of Aaron, Moses' brother, the father of the priesthood of Israel. Bible tells us that Zacharias, he was a priest of Abijah's division in verse number 5. It means that his people served the temple from the time of King David. What a lineage going all the way back to King David. And you can see that in 1 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse number 10. I love his name. His name means remembered of Jehovah. God remembered Zacharias. Elizabeth, look at her character. She is of the daughters of Aaron. Her name means one whose oath is to God. What a beautiful name for Elizabeth and for Zacharias. You know, we name kids today, and how much time do people take in really planning out the names of kids, right? I mean, what is that name that they've got there? When you think about what's happening to Elizabeth and Zacharias, it is striking here. But as their character, the Bible tells us in verse number 6 that both were righteous in God's sight. Notice something. They were joined together and they were committed to each other. I pray for Adam this morning. He is joined to a wife, and yet he has lost his commitment to his wife, and he has joined himself to another woman. And they lived for God and for each other as husband and wife. They were righteous before God. And together they came before God seeking Him. That is, to please Him and to do whatever He said. It was His plan in their lives. The Bible tells us that they were walking, they were conducting their lives in not just a few of His commandments, but in all of His commandments. That was the conduct of their life as a man, as a woman, as a husband, as a wife together. They controlled their thoughts. Their tongues were under control. Their behavior. Why? Because they diligently sought to please the Lord in all that they did. So the Bible tells us that they were blameless. Now, were they perfect? Of course not. Nobody is perfect other than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none righteous, no, not one. But what it means is that they were faithful. They were faithful as a man, faithful as a woman, faithful as a husband and wife. And they were living in such a way that nobody could come to them and say, "Aha, we got you." They lived their lives privately and publicly in such a way that no one could charge them with an open sin. They were careful not to offend anyone, and they lived honestly before both God and the rest of mankind. The character was displayed publicly in their life. It was said of Billy Graham by his children that the man you see in the large stadiums is the same man that is at home. There was no difference in the character of Billy Graham, whether he was in the large stadiums, whether he was before presidents or rulers of the world, or whether he was there with his wife and his children. Jesus said that you shall recognize them, who? His disciples, by their fruit. Jesus asks a question, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. Neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So, Jesus said, you'll recognize them by their fruit. Zacharias and Elizabeth were recognized by their fruit. Jesus would call them good trees. They were living godly lives, righteous before Almighty God. And so they were recognized not only by others producing good fruit, but most importantly, they were recognized by God. God looked at this man and this woman, and He called them blameless. The Bible says that they were living without blame according to all the commands required of the Lord. And they were faithful even unto old age. Imagine, it's one thing to be faithful today, but can you imagine living a faithful life even unto old age? That's your conduct of living, is a godly life. Wow. It's not just living that life. to the old age, but it's having God remember you to your old age until He takes you home. What a life. So here's the challenge. When you look at the situation of Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were righteous, the Bible says, but they were childless. They had no children. And so you might think, so what? Well, we have to go back into that time when you were a part of this culture. You see, it wasn't like being an American today. Being a Jewish woman, the greatest blessing she could have was to bear a child. Because a woman who bore children back then were favored by God. And not only just to bear a child, but to bear a son for her husband. But they probably were wondering, why am I childish? Why are we childish? We're righteous. We're living according to God's plans. But she was barren, the Bible tells us. That word is very descriptive. It takes us to a desert. If you look at a desert that is barren, it is dry. Nothing grows there. Its ground is cracked. And so it is lifeless. Now think about this, ladies. You're Elizabeth. And there is the man of your dreams, Zechariah. And you get married. And now they're going to plan a family. And there's Elizabeth, and there's all of her other friends. And not long after they get married, some of her friends come up and they'll say, "Are you and Zechariah planning a family?" "Oh, yes. Yes, we're in the midst of trying to have a family." "Oh, wonderful." And now, as time goes on, some of those very same ladies will come up to her and say, "Elizabeth, are you and Zechariah planning a family?" "Oh, yes, we are. We're trying." But the difference is that some of those ladies are also newly married. And the difference between them is that some of Elizabeth's friends have a little bit of a pouch now. And Elizabeth has nothing there. And now other people in the community are asking, "Elizabeth, aren't you and Zechariah planning to have a family?" "Oh, yes, we are." And now those ladies who had a little bit of a pouch have now given birth to their own children, but not Elizabeth. And now, it's no longer, "Are you planning to have a family?" It's, "We're praying for you, Elizabeth. We're praying that you and Zechariah will have a family." But the problem is this: Elizabeth is aging. And now, in her older years, the same people that would be asking if she and Zacharias are going to have a family and praying, they would be whispering behind the scenes, "She can't have children. She can't have children." You might still ask the question. Well, they should not be whispering behind the scenes. She cannot rejoice in the pregnancy, but now she is in sorrow for her own barrenness because she would be aware that she would be called a disgrace among the people. Imagine that. Now, how about living according to God's plan when it's not your own plan? Still living that life, faithful life. Now well along in years. So they had to adjust that they would not have children. They didn't have IVF back then. They didn't have fertility clinics back then. But oh, there was a desire unlike many women in our nation today that they desired so much to have children. That children were a blessing from Almighty God. In fact, they were not an interference in a woman's plan, but they were part of her plan. They were childless. What a blow it must have been to Elizabeth and to Zacharias. You see, children were considered to be a heritage from the Lord. We need to go back to understanding that children are a blessing, a heritage to the Lord. And a Jew's wife who could not bear children was thought to be cut off from God. That was the culture back then. And so, Zechariah was expected to do something. You ready for this? If his wife could not bear children, under the law, he was expected to divorce his wife, remarry a woman who could bear children. Wow. Imagine having that test set before you. Can't bear children? Just divorce that woman. So this is a serious matter. This is a serious problem for them. It's always on their hearts and it's always on their minds because they believe that they were disfavored by God. Even though they did all that they can do to please God, they believe somewhere along the way that they had done something that displeased God so much that they lost favor with God. It's a question for you. Is that what you think? Plan's not going according to plan. So I must have displeased God somewhere. That I've lost favor with Him. I'm telling you today, if you're uncertain about the favor of God towards you, all you have to do is look to the cross. Just look to the cross. He loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The favor of God rests upon you through His Son, Jesus Christ. But now they're elderly. And all of the problems that come along with getting older is there. So they're wondering, is God punishing me? So how do you serve God through disappointments? Let's get real here. He may have been a priest, and she may have been a descendant from Aaron. They may have been very, very godly people, living their lives according to what they believe God's plan was for their life. Well, guess what? They're human. And no doubt they were greatly disappointed. And as you've heard before, our disappointments are either going to make you bitter or they're going to make you better. How will you live through disappointments? Our disappointments sometimes have a terrible way of producing a bad theology to deny the goodness of God. On vacation this past week, I saw a post from good friends of ours, and Steve and Abby know them well, even Jack Kenyon. And there was a post of a really good friend of mine, talented guitar player, beautiful voice, a brother in Christ. We served on the praise team together for a number of years. And a number of years ago, Jim, while we were serving together, he would be singing and he would begin to forget some of the lyrics. And later on, it was found out that he had a brain tumor. Jim was in pharmaceuticals. He was probably top in his game. Beautiful family. He had everything going for him. And after some treatments, we were praying for him. The tumor was reduced a little bit. But his company said, can't work anymore. He lost his job. And everything that went along with it. Oh, they gave him a severance pay, but that wasn't much. Jim found himself trying to find other jobs. Sadly, along the way, things happened. His marriage broke apart. And I saw this picture of Jim with Eve and Jack. And he said, we went over to Granville and took Jim out for lunch. And that's where Jim is for. I thought maybe he found his way back to Granville. But he's at Granville Center. He's in a nursing home. He's my age. And I thought, God, here's a man who had everything. Why do you deliver some from suffering and not others? I don't know. I don't know. But I know this in Zechariah and Elizabeth's case. They handled a lifetime of disappointment. They handled a lifetime of social shame with living righteous and blameless before God. They served God even though they did not have what they wanted. God's plan was different from their plan. And they held out hope. Because being righteous does not mean that we live a challenge-free life. Living godly lives does not exempt us from pain and suffering. It does not take away heartaches in life or that every desire is going to be granted to anyone who lives a godly life as the best that they can. But I know this. If you serve God for what you can get, then you do not serve God, you serve yourself. If it has to be my plan, I'm not serving God. I'm serving myself, and I'm calling it God's plan. If you serve God for what you can get, you serve yourself. That is the prosperity gospel that is being proclaimed today. And it is not a biblical gospel at all. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trials and tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You see, we don't get everything we want just because we live a godly life. God is our hope. And God always accomplishes His plan for His people. Years ago, we used to go to Promise Keepers quite a bit. And Joseph Garlington used to sing a beautiful song, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be Thou our God while life may last, and our eternal home. Elizabeth and Zechariah endured this very test. We will serve God faithfully through our disappointments. We may not have a child, but we have Almighty God. You may not have the dream job that you've always wanted. You may not even have the princess bride, or you may have gotten a frog instead of a prince for a husband. I don't know. The ladies are laughing a little bit. But how do you live according to God's plan? Oh God, our help in ages past. Our hope, not just for today, but for how long? For years to last. another part, be thou our God while life may last. He's our shelter from the stormy blast. And so, will you live according to God's plan when it's not your plan, knowing that God always accomplishes His plan for His people and His time? The people looked at Jesus, and it was the plan of the people that Jesus would come onto the scene and He would free them from Roman oppression. They thought Him to be this king who would come on the scene and just to wipe out the entire Roman Empire so that they could live the way that they wanted to live. And Jesus surprised them. He came into Jerusalem not on a warrior stallion, but He came in lowly on a donkey. And it wasn't long after that they realized, He's not going to do what we want Him to do. And so the very man who came into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, if you will, whereby the people cried out, Son of David, save us, were now crying out, crucify Him. Crucify Him. He didn't give us what we wanted. Get rid of Him. And so God's plan was on the night that He was in the upper room. He took bread and He broke the bread. He looked up to heaven and He gave thanks. He gave it to His disciples and He said, take this, each one of you. This is My body broken for you. And after they had supped, again He had taken the cup, and giving thanks, looked up to heaven and gave it to His disciples and said, this is the new covenant in My blood. Take all of you and drink of it. Do this in remembrance of Me.